This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How we're doing today on this hump day? Happy hump day. Beautiful morning outside. Beautiful morning. Beautiful morning as we're getting going. On this Wednesday, it's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We're live in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios. You're watching us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. Listening to us on YouTube, the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, Joe Gaither 6 on the Bama Central Facebook channel. Everywhere you get the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, we appreciate you joining us today. We're proudly presented by our friends, Warren Tire and Auto Center, two great locations to better serve you in Tuscaloosa. One off of University Boulevard for all of your automotive needs. But if you need tires, brakes, and alignment, we encourage you to check out Warren Tire and Auto Center on 15th Street at 205. You can call them 205-759-5505. University Boulevard, you call them at 205-758-2739. That's Warren Tire and Auto. They've been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961, and we are so proud that they are sponsoring the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. With that, we say hello. Good morning to our friend Mason Woods. You follow him at MA Woods on the _. Yeah, that buzz that I was hearing yesterday, I don't hear you today. So perfect. Yeah, excellent. Let's get right into it. Mason Woods, how's your Wednesday? How we doing today? You doing all right? You ready to pop on into it? We got a few maybe interest. No, we'll see how they go.
Doing good. You know, it's just been a slow week, and it's spring break for a lot of folks, spring break for Alabama. You know, we do cover other schools that are also having slow weeks as well. So it's just not a whole lot happening, feels like. It feels like everybody's just kind of waiting for the SEC tournament to get here.
Well, the slow week, yeah, I think you hit it, and it is about to pick up because the SEC tournament starts today. I want to do a couple of things today. I want to talk about the SEC tournament as far as the first round. I believe, Mason Woods, the University of Alabama has never played on Wednesday in the SEC tournament. Really? Never. Has never played on Wednesday since its inception. I mean,
I'm not sure that everybody can say that.
No, I'm not sure that everybody can. I remember watching the Auburn Tigers play on a couple of Wednesdays. No, I'm pretty positive that you can say that. The format has changed over the course of the years, obviously adding teams, adding Missouri and A&M, 2014? And so you had to change your format just a little bit and then change it again. Now we're adding in Texas and Oklahoma. It just gets you even better. But let's look at these first-round games. Here's what we want to do today. We want to look at these first-round games, predict them real quick, because, I mean, look, we're just easing into the SEC tournament. We want to go to a ChatGPT question about Alabama football. I fed it a couple of prompts.
To the AI overlords.
No, well, I was looking for something interesting.
There's not, like I said, it's a slow week, you know?
Right, exactly.
We talked a little wrestling yesterday, but the people don't necessarily want to hear that for another hour.
Reminder, Crimson Clash on Sunday. Sunday. You can see the Alpha Alexander Lincoln taking on Rhino right there at Buddy Powell Pavilion.
I will be there, front row ringside.
Woo! We cannot wait for that. So we want to ease right into it by picking the first round games. We want to talk about Alabama football, specifically on the offensive side of the football, what the offense might look like this season as far as with Ryan Grubb and the changes, obviously quarterback changes. But I really think we should be paying attention to the offensive line and the running backs as we have this conversation. And then we want to go to West Virginia. Exactly. We want to talk about TikTok at the end. If you want to talk about TikTok, you can call us at 205-462-7340 extension 800. You can be a part of the show. by leaving us a voicemail right there. We will play your voicemails. We didn't have any voicemails over the evening, as Mason said, slow week, but your voicemails are always open, are always welcome. The SEC tournament gets started today. You can react to all the games that are happening. They're starting at noon, so we will be out of here, out of the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios by the time this thing gets started. We'll go noon. We'll go about 2:30 or so, 25 minutes after the first game, and then we'll go 6 o'clock and roughly 8:30 or so. How about it, Mason? You excited? I could have a lunch date during this first game.
That's kind of exactly where I'm thinking. This is not an overly exciting slot of games in front of us.
Anybody want to go to Nukes or McAllister's
playing? I guess I'm maybe most interested, at least, to watch Vanderbilt or Mississippi State.
Oh yeah, I mean that's going to be the game. Texas Vanderbilt's going to be the game.
Sure,
I don't really care about it. LSU Mississippi State just dog poo. Okay, first we got to open it up. South Carolina opens the tournament against Arkansas. South Carolina won like 3 SEC games the entire year. Let's look at the standings.
And I kind of quit paying attention to them, but they were like hanging in there with everybody, and I felt they were. And I remember us talking about them as just being feisty. They hung around. They did not win, but they were feisty.
Old Nick Pringle and them boys won 2 conference games, 2-16. Ooh. Nick Pringle and them boys beat, who did they beat? Oh, I know they beat the brakes off of Arkansas? Yeah, they beat the brakes off of Texas and Arkansas. They beat Texas 84-69, and they beat Arkansas 72-53. Now, that Arkansas win was only like 2 weeks ago, a week or two ago. So, South Carolina, you want to get to the dance?
Here's your chance.
Play your way through this tournament, beating Arkansas, beating Ole Miss, beating Auburn, and then whoever else you get. Otherwise, these are your last days playing college basketball in 2025.
I have a feeling today might be their last day playing college basketball in 2025.
Nick Pringle, we love you. Good luck. Will they make the NIT? What's their actual record? Their actual record is 12-9. No, they're 12-19. Do they have any good non-conference wins? No. Unlikely. Towson, Mercer, Virginia Tech and Boston College, and Clemson. You beat 3 ACC teams in a year. The ACC is not good.
This is a real off-topic tangent, but you saying Clemson really made me
go for it.
What is Clemson like? If you noticed Clemson, they have landed 7 or 8 recruits the last week and a half from the 2026 class.
Ooh, I don't know. No, recruiting man, tell me.
Dabo is like cooking something up over there. I don't know if Clemson's finally figured out their NIL stuff and they're just keeping it a little hush hush and just. But I mean, like it's Dabo. Every other tweet I see on my phone from 247 on 3. It's so and so commits to Clemson. So and so. I mean, Dabo is on a hot streak. So Clemson maybe has figured something out on the recruiting trail here. But back to basketball, South Carolina. This will be your last day, probably playing. I mean, Arkansas is not overly impressive, but they're probably going to beat South Carolina in a game that we will all watch very closely.
Oh, so close, so close. Okay, yeah, Clemson up to number 2 right now in the class of 2026. Currently, you're boasting 8 4-star commits, 4 3-star commits, no 5-stars quite yet.
No.
But we've got 12 young men who are ready to roll with Dabo Swinney.
And, I mean, I think they've probably gotten at least half of those in the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Okay, actually, let me click on that just to confirm you because I'm sure.
It seems
sure.
Like I'm probably, you know, it's maybe a little bit.
A little hyperbole, but that's sure. Okay. Yeah, you got, there's the dates. 3-9, 3-8, 3-8, 3-11, 3-7, 3-9.
Crazy.
And 3-10. Yeah, so a handful of them right here in these 4 days. Great job, Dabo.
Sure. Oh. What's he doing? What is it? Is it NIL? Because I know they're not. I know.
No. It's God. We're having prayer circles, and God is delivering. Is delivering on his promise.
That's why it was no 5-stars. They want that NIL.
The Lord is delivering on his promise to give me the underrated, the hungry, the ones who want to prove themselves.
Hey, it worked out for him almost this year.
Yeah, they had a better year.
Sure.
Better year. I mean, much better year. Good.
Yeah, the ACC is just awful.
Exactly.
it's hard to call it a good year when you still struggled in the what is the worst of the power conferences. But we digress.
All right, so I'm taking Arkansas big. Yes, actually, you know what? Let's look at this. This seems important. SEC availability report. Look, because didn't hasn't Arkansas been dealing with injuries? Okay, here we go. Yeah. That's what I want. Miles Studio. Oh, definitely. I'm taking the Hogs. Miles Studio is out. Well, okay. Miles Studio is out for South Carolina, but Adu Thero is out for Arkansas. Arkansas hasn't had Boogie Flan for about 2 months now, so that's not any news. But yeah, no Adu Thero. Like, yeah, you're taking two of the best players out of this game, and it's already it's not a good game, anyways.
61-58 by the end of it.
Disgusting. All right, so really, you probably want to get your lunch date, get your errands done, get your go to CVS, whatever you need to do. Call Derek Daniel and State Farm 205-758-3391. Go get your tires changed over at Warren Tire and Auto Center. Get all that done before 2:30, 3 o'clock, because I do think you will have an entertaining game at 3 o'clock. Texas and Vanderbilt. Texas played Vanderbilt, 2-3 weeks ago, roughly. I was covering that game for our friends, Vanderbilt on SI. And that really, to me, was a game that I thought Vanderbilt grew up, because Vanderbilt had been on a run of taking small leads, slim leads, into the halftime locker room. Let's see. Here's my schedule right there. Yeah. You had gotten your doors blown off by Alabama. You beat Kentucky. Then you went to Oklahoma, got a slight lead, and just got destroyed in the second half. You went to Florida, took a slight lead, and got destroyed in the second half. And then you were back home against Texas, and you took your slight lead and, okay, hung in there through the second half. That Texas game, to me, was a turning point in the Vanderbilt season. Yes, they turned around and lost to Auburn and Tennessee and Kentucky in consecutive fashion, but they played very, very close in those games. I think this is going to be a really entertaining matchup.
Yeah, I feel like this could be a good game. I think Vanderbilt, we've kind of talked about them a lot this year. They have a lot of good pieces. They just don't really have all of the pieces.
Yeah, no size. Yeah. No size at all.
But, the guys they have, I think, are good and can make things happen. They are, I think, the perfect team to maybe catch somebody on an off night if they, if Vanderbilt is having a good shooting night or something and they go into the second round against maybe Texas A&M and the Aggies are having an off night, I wouldn't be all that shocked to see an upset from this Vanderbilt squad.
Yeah, actually, Vanderbilt is favored by 3. Is that what I saw? Let me see. Let me double check. Vanderbilt favored by 2.5. 2.5. I am taking Vanderbilt and the 2.5. I think that the home Commodores right down the road from Vanderbilt in Bridgestone Arena will emerge victorious, get themselves another quad one win. If you're Vanderbilt right now, you are trying desperately to get off this 8-9, get out of this 8-9 just hellhole. A lot of people are having them as the 9 seed going to where did I write? Newark? But playing UConn in the first round. Playing 8 seed UConn. Like, down team UConn. Well, here's your 2-time national champions in the first round, Vanderbilt. Great year. You haven't been to the tournament since 2017. Great year. Here's UConn.
That would be tough.
All right, then we get a big break. Big break, early dinner.
This, I will say, Lenardi right now, as of yesterday, has them as an 11 playing Illinois. So not great.
Come on, Doors. We got to get a win. Got to get
that up there. Got to get up 6-7.
If you can beat, if you're Vanderbilt, you're looking at Texas. You're looking at Texas A&M and Tennessee. Two teams you've already beat this year and a team that you've split with. And you should have really swept Tennessee. You get 3 quad one wins and you're playing on semifinal Saturday.
Hey.
You go ahead and give me that 7 seed. Come on now. Finish the season with 3 quad one wins. Sure, we lost to Auburn on semifinal Saturday, but we're out of gas and they're not. Come on, give me that 7 seed, committee.
That'd be a much better landing spot for them, I think.
Problem is, Mason, I feel like a lot of the NCAA tournament brackets, a lot of the seeding, I think it's already done.
You may be right.
I think you've got a framework hanging up in the selection committee's meeting room, and I think that there are only a couple of things that could happen that would change. Like Alabama, you're locked in as a 2 seed unless you win the tournament. Could lose the – I mean, I think you can take that framework, that thinking – and apply it to almost every team. Vanderbilt, you're locked in as probably a 10 seed unless you win 3 quad one games, and then you're moving up. If you win 1 quad one game, probably still at the 10 game.
Yeah.
You go 1-1, you lose to A&M on Thursday. Sorry, have fun with your 10 seed. Congrats, you're in the tournament, but the SEC tournament did nothing for your resume. I don't know that I mean, Auburn, you lose in the first game. Let's just say we're just throwing out hypotheticals, seeing what sticks. You lose in the first game. Guess what? You're still a number one seed. You're probably still the top seed, overall seed in the tournament. Like, oh, you lost back-to-back games, Alabama, and the first game of the tournament. Whoa, is this guy falling? No, they're going to get the number one seed.
Yeah.
I think the margins are so, like, minuscule this week. So with that, I read something that said, based on this, it was, because the NCAA tournament and the SEC, you know, all these teams in the SEC are already virtually in or out, and the seeding is close to being done or not. This person hypothesized. Is that
hypothesized?
Golly, I say that all the time. Hypothesized. I always miss that one so much. Mm-hmm. Hypothesized that the SEC tournament is not going to be good. It's not going to be fun to watch. It's not going to be good basketball. No. They didn't say not good. They said it wasn't going to be as good. Wasn't going to be as competitive as it could be. They were trying to take 10% off, 10% of shine off it. I'm locked in.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the best SEC tournament we've seen in a while. This is the best collection of talent we've seen in the SEC, and I don't know how long. This is the looking at the actual, like, records, you know, this is one of the best performances by a conference as a whole in the history of college basketball.
Yes.
So to think this is not going to be an entertaining tournament is ridiculous.
Is it? Oh, the basketball won't be, the players won't, the players won't be trying as hard.
That's crazy.
What?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think once the whistle blows, the ball goes up, but the gas tank goes to.
I think anybody that says that really, and you know, it's not that I am not a college athlete myself, not a professional athlete, but I think anybody that says that does not understand the psyche of these athletes. Like, I don't think you don't just tell a college professional athlete, like, hey, bud, take it easy, big guy. Like, it's just they're on. Like you said, they're on, and it's game time.
What happens? I was an average athlete in high school, very, very average.
Dangerously average, I like to call myself. Sure.
You've been at church leagues. You've been in rec leagues. Mm-hmm. You played it. You have to consciously tell yourself, there's 10-year-olds out here. there's older folks out here. Oh, there's women out here. Yeah, I have to tell myself to just dial it down, Joe. Let 12-year-old, you know, run the round, get the shot off. In these situations.
Hey, you couldn't even learn a life lesson.
No. I'm getting to a point. Because the natural reaction is the ball was up. Yeah. I'm swatting your bleep, man. You're not scoring. My teammate said, I'm guarding you. I'm guarding you, buddy. You're not scoring. Oh, I don't get you if you're 12 years old or if your name is Sally or if you're 100 years old. Like, if this is the assignment and the team says, Joe, this is your job. Oh, I'm guarding this person. So, and I was average at everything. To say they're not going to be trying as hard.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's insane to me.
They do not have that in their head. Like, they don't have that.
Right. You play pickleball out there, and, like, of course, I'm not going to try to smoke the ball back to my grandma. But, like,
else's grandma, though. Better get off the court. No,
is not pickleball.
No, this is high-level Division I basketball you're playing for a championship.
And so you're saying that these athletes would consciously say, well, we're already in the NCAA tournament. I guess I'm just going to dribble out these 40 minutes. Why the heck do you even make the trip?
Yeah, insane. Yeah, that's exactly. At that point, why are all 16 of these teams not just being like, well, I don't care.
We'll send our walk-on. Send
Charnowski out there.
Send the manager team. The Alabama managers are going to go compete for the SEC championship.
That's such a not – it's just a kind of ridiculous notion. There is no telling these athletes, telling these players, telling these coaches to turn it off.
Because as soon as the clock hits zero and one team is losing and the reality sets in that, ooh, are we in on Sunday?
Sure.
Ooh, is Sunday, was that our last game? Was that my last game? Was that the last game I ever played at high level? Like, this stuff is real.
And there's not many teams in the SEC that are going to have that day, unfortunately. But, I mean, the bottom, what, three or so? Texas, yes. Oklahoma.
I promise you, South Carolina is going to empty the dang tank today. That's all they've got left.
Yeah.
Lamont Parrish? Lamont Parrish is the head coach's name?
Maybe.
They're going to empty the tank today. All right, so we go on to 6 o'clock, LSU, Mississippi State. LSU is bad. They're going to miss the NCAA tournament. But you know what? They're going to empty the tank today to try to get one on Mississippi State at 6 o'clock on SEC Network.
I want Paris.
Paris. Did I say Parrish?
Parrish. Parrish is actually the coach at Bethune-Cookman.
Oh, dang. Fail. It's 6 o'clock. I'm taking Mississippi State and Chris Jans. I think that LSU is legitimately the worst team in the league. I think that South Carolina record-wise is the worst team in the league, but I think if South Carolina and LSU played a 7-game series, South Carolina wins 4-3.
That's probably fair. LSU is bad.
They're not good. They don't play.
Do anything well. Mm-hmm. They just don't. They don't play. You know, they're not good offensively. They're not good defensively. They don't really wow you with like overly impressive size or strength anywhere. It's just kind of. They're not that great. So, yeah, I will also roll with Mississippi State. Give me Wade Taylor and the boys.
Wade Taylor's at A&M.
Oh, yeah.
It's Josh Hubbard. Josh right. Hubbard. Same sort of player.
I'm getting everybody confused now. It all runs together. But, yeah, give me Mississippi State. Now, second round, that's going to be a tough matchup with Missouri there, but I like them in the first.
It's Wednesday, right? I'm going to be asleep by the time Oklahoma and Georgia tip off at 8:30 because that's another one. Like, you start the day with a snoozer, we're going to end the day with a snoozer. Do we say we're going to be excited for this SEC tournament? Golly!
Yeah, it is odd booking here to, you know, to book in both the, you know, the
well,
end of
the seedings dictate. The seedings dictate the timing. So there's nothing really the SEC could have done about that. But yeah, if I was Greg Sankey, I'd be like, dang it, could we not just have, can we not open, look, what we need to do, we need to open with LSU and State, and we need to close with Texas and Vanderbilt. Get all these, because that's a shame. Vanderbilt's going to be playing at 3 p.m, where all their home fans are going to be at work.
Yep.
Right. All the fans
watching on their phone
that could be in Bridgestone Arena at 6 p.m. Sure. to support the Doors are going to be, you know, doing their accounting and doing their taxes and whatever smart people do.
Justice for Vanderbilt.
They're lawyering. They're lawyering, they're legislating, all that stuff.
Whatever they do up there.
They won't be able to watch the Doors. All right, so Wednesday, there goes Wednesday. I don't really want to talk about that anymore. You got anything else about Wednesday basketball?
I don't believe I do. Whew.
Not as attractive as I thought
it
was.
The first round, sure. But if we get out of that first round, we got some heaters, I think.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Second round Thursday, we're going to have. Whew. That's going to be exciting.
That's going to be good basketball to watch. You're going to have a good time just sitting on your couch watching basketball. You know, if you got some time, maybe call in sick one of these days.
These are the weeks to use your sick days. These are definitely the weeks to use your sick days and your children's sick days. Sure. Oh, my child woke up with, I didn't know you had a kid. Yeah, man, I've been a kid, dad for 5 years now. Yeah, little Charlie, he's, you know, just growing like a weed. Chris Walsh, I've got my kids all week this week. Let's keep going on the right here on the Joe Gaither Show. We are live in the Dairy Daniel State Farm Studios. You call Derek for all your insurance needs, 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Dairy Daniel and his team is there. Derek can take care of you with your home, life, auto insurance needs, your renter's insurance needs, really any questions you have in the insurance world. Derek can take care of you. Derek's got a great team upstairs. Red, Reese, and Victoria. We hung out with them a little bit on Tuesday, just hanging out with them and getting to know them a bit. Appreciate their time. Want to call them at 205-758-3391. Red, Reese, and Victoria will be happy to walk you through any insurance questions, and they've got Derek backing them up if they have questions. So call them today. Tell them that the Joe Gaither Show sent you. Visit them right here off of McFarland Boulevard, past the Tiger Rock on the left. We're just like a mile past McFarland Boulevard. Past the Tiger Rock on the left. Beautiful building. Call Derek and his team. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much Derek can save you today at 205-758-3391.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
And as we keep going, we are very, very proud to be sponsored by Warren Tire and Auto Center. They are a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple. They've been such since 1961. owned by Russ Warren at the moment. Shout out Russ Warren. Make sure you check out his podcast as well. They're in the third generation of ownership with Russ. They're the go-to place for your automotive needs. If you need tires, brakes, and alignment, go to 15th Street. You need just those tire chains or something going on with your alignment, rotations, go see them at 15th Street. Call them at 15th Street, 205-759-5505. Or if you need any other car work, you need oil change, you need electrical issues with your radio or with your windshield wipers or with your rolling your window up and down, all kinds of other needs other than tires, brakes, and alignment. You need engine work. You need transmission work. Go see them on University Boulevard, 205-758-2739. Right there by the hospital, right there up by Nukes. That's Warren Tire and Auto Center. Two great locations to serve you. They've been in Tuscaloosa since 1961. They're going to be in Tuscaloosa long past you being gone. So make sure you take all of your cars to Warren Tire and Auto for all your automotive needs. All right, Mason Woods, let's have a little fun. It's spring break. The boys are gone. The boys are gone on the beach. All right, real quick. First thing that comes to your mind, where do these Alabama players go on spring break? No thought. Here we go. I'm going to throw you some names, and you just throw the first place that comes to your brain. Ryan Williams goes to spring break where?
He's going back home.
Mobile. Boom. Yeah, he's going back Mobile. Hometown boy. No beach. Yep. No beach for him. No.
He's beach adjacent.
Okay, sure. But it's not the party for Ryan.
No.
Jam Miller goes to spring break where?
Jam Miller's definitely and I'm going back home to lock in and do some working out guy, too.
Ty Simpson.
A lot of these guys are going to be going home.
You don't know who's going to the beach. Who's partying? You know
what? Ty Simpson comes from a little money. Maybe they take him a nice beach trip.
Ty Simpson, is he leading the beach trip? Is he taking the offensive line to the beach?
No, I don't think so. Not yet. I don't know that we're there yet. I think that's maybe a.
So he's just taking some wide receivers. Is it him, Jeremy Bernard, going to the beach together?
Is he there yet with anybody? I mean, we've had
brother,
a week.
I think so.
Ooh. All right, maybe.
There's always room for Joe Gaither to be wrong. What's it say at the top of my Twitter? Often wrong, never in doubt. I think that
I just don't.
They're going to be selling a quarterback competition, but I don't think there's a quarterback competition to buy.
This is going to be a long season.
Maybe. Or maybe.
Long season.
Or maybe. Old buddy Ty's taking those steps forward.
We'll see. There's a lot of steps to take.
Okay. All right. I mean, yes, consistency is the biggest factor. Staying in the pocket. Stay in the pocket. I mean, Buddy can throw.
Sure.
But he's got an arm, and he's made good decisions, but it's just staying in the moment to me with Ty. Okay, so Ty, do you have anybody going anywhere? Does Olasa Lennon go back to Finland?
Oh, that'd be good. You know what? Maybe he's with Ty this weekend. Ty brought him in. He was like, you know, you don't have to go all the way back over there. You come with me. We're going to go to the beach. Him and Ty are chartering a fishing boat. That's what they're doing. They're out doing some deep sea fishing.
No James Burnup to go back to Australia. We've lost Justin Okoronkwo, so he's not going back to Germany.
Nugwum, is he returning to...
is he Nigerian?
I think so. Cameroonian, maybe?
Cameroon. No, well, I'm not sure.
Who else? Anybody?
Which coach? I mean, they're all...
Stephen Buamua?
Stephen. He's going back to Canada.
Yeah. Oh,
no, better not go back to Canada. Yeah, you may not be able to come back.
You may not come back. Please stay here. We need you, Steve. You're a future All-American, remember?
All-American, not All-Canadian. which coach? I mean, this is a bad question because they're all locked in. Yeah, they're all locked nothing. In. They're all just in their dungeons looking at film. Not a
2027 wide receiver. Hey, right, buddy, how's it going?
Right. None of them are doing anything nefarious and fun. But if someone were to do something nefarious and fun, would it be? You know what?
I know who it would be.
Okay, you say yours. And I'll
I think
say
it's
mine.
DeMarcus Shepherd taking the offensive coaches out on the lake one day, sneaking out of the office. All right, boys, let's get the boat. Here we go.
Late Tuscaloosa. Turning up on some...
They're going to do the New York Giants boat post, and it's going to be Jamarcus in his jeans on the front of the boat. Yeah, that'll be what we get.
I like that. I like the Captain Shepherd.
Maybe like the banana boat, you know, with those three.
Everybody bouncing on the back. Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, and Nick Sheridan bouncing on the back.
Yeah, there we go.
No, it's Kalen driving, and it's the three co-OCs on the
getting
animal.
Pulled on a tube behind it. That's what it
they're all arguing about which play to call. No, I had a 12 month hell under all kinds of pressure, and now Ryan Grubb is leading the offense. Sure. All my quarterbacks are at the beach. I'm going
to Cancun.
Yes,
all my quarter. I have been teaching this offense for 14 months, and I'm now reteaching it again. Yeah. To Keelan Russell. And this, he's like, praise the Lord for Austin Mack. At least he knows what I'm talking about.
Did Keelan Russell already go back to Duncanville, or is he just hanging out in Tuscaloosa?
Keelan Russell is living in the Alabama football facility.
I think you're right.
Like,
I think he's got him a cot right there in the quarterback meeting room.
He's got a cot, but it's not there. It is right next to the buffet line.
Oh yeah, there we go. He's just got him shoveling food down the belt into his mouth.
Open wide.
Yeah, they've set up a conveyor belt system in there for him.
He's got an IV that is just
gravy.
Like, his IV is
bacon
just
low.
Yes. It's just, hey man, how's that weight coming? David Ballou's going in there, be like, it's time to work out. Time to start trimming this, working this up. Yeah, so he's staying in the facility for sure. Yeah. He's staying in the facility. Okay, so our question from ChatGPT that stuck out to me. I just kind of asked, hey, what should we talk about? And I skipped over 99% of it because I thought, boring.
Can you feed it our previous shows and have it analyze them for what we should do next?
Ooh, that would be a good idea. boring was my thought. And then one of these questions stood out. Here we go, Mason. Should Alabama shift its offensive identity under Kalen DeBoer?
ChatGPT non-ball knower.
Well,
we didn't even see offensive identity last year. Well, how do we know we're supposed to shift it? You got to see maybe 60% of it last year.
Maybe. Look,
I love you, Jalen Milroe. Maybe. I will say it till I'm blue in the face. I love Jalen Milroe. He was great. But he hindered this offense so much. He held them back so, so much with his inefficiencies, with his lack of consistency. That yes, we barely got to see the Kalen DeBoer playbook, got to barely see the Kalen DeBoer offense. So no, there's zero even thought in my mind that there should be any sort of like, let's shift things around a bit, because we didn't even get to see it to its full effect. I'm not fully convinced that we'll see it with Ty Simpson either, full disclosure, but I believe him more than I do Jalen Milroe, excuse me.
All right, so what is that total? 479. What was it at here? Okay, so what if I told you, this is a surprise to me, that in out of Washington in 2023, the Huskies ran the ball 391 times last year here in Tuscaloosa. Well, that's an obvious reason why. Last year here in Tuscaloosa, the Crimson Tide ran the ball 479 times. So before I looked at that, I thought, I'm going to find out that they ran the ball a lot more at Washington. Mm-hmm. And now as I'm looking at this, obviously they ran the ball more. We ran the ball more here in Tuscaloosa. But then you look at their running backs, Jam Miller, 145 carries, Justice, 79, Richard Young, 27, Daniel Hill, 21, Jalen Milroe, 168 carries.
That'll do it right there.
Two years ago at Washington, Dylan Johnson took 233 carries from the running back position for the Huskies for 1,195 yards and 16 touchdowns.
It's a good year.
I picked this question because I think that it has good merit. I picked this question because you brought in Ryan Grubb. Mm-hmm. I picked this question because you brought in Ryan Grubb and you have uncertainty at the quarterback position, and I think you have real strength at the offensive line of the running back room.
Certainly.
And so what I thought was, you're going to see Alabama be a little – like we talked about running the football going into the year. We're going to get more physical. Tyler Booker, mm-hmm. We're going to make people quit. Love you, Tyler. We didn't really do that this year.
Not much.
But, okay, great. I think that was a philosophy that was preached. I think that was a philosophy that was tried to be instilled. And because of that, I think that philosophy will continue to be instilled and preached to Parker Brailsford, to all the offensive linemen, Caden Proctor, Wilcome Formby, everybody. I don't see Ty Simpson taking 160-something carries. What did I just say? 168 carries. I don't see Keelan Russell or Austin Mack taking even 40 carries. I see Ty running a bit. Ty running. Do I have a Penix number here? Penix.
Penix is a little grain of salt.
Penix is not a good good comparison. Penix took 35 carries in that 2023 year.
I think you could pretty safely double that up with Ty.
Yeah, about 70. I think 70 is about right. And I think that if Keelan or Austin Mack win the job, I think both those young men are looking at 50 or fewer.
I would probably agree with that.
I think we're going to get more traditional downhill running games. So I think that the question, should Alabama change? Should is not the right word. Will Alabama change? I think you have to change personnel-wise based on the quarterback ability. And I think you have to change personnel-wise just based on your strengths with the offensive line and the running. Okay, do you think the offensive line is a strength this year and walking into 2025? That's something we should determine because that's kind of a question mark. Is it a strength?
You know, we love Parker Brailsford. I feel fine about Caden Proctor at left tackle. Will Conformby on the right side, I think, is still a bit of a question mark. Mm-hmm. I think Cam Dewberry is solid, but again, we haven't seen him in an Alabama uniform.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's the guard. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sorry. Continue.
And who the other guard I'm blanking on the name.
Jaden Roberts.
Jaden Roberts.
Returning starter.
Which I feel fine about Jaden Roberts as well. So, I mean, I think it's...
Gino is kind of your swing first backup fella.
I think it's a strength, but I don't think it's like such a glaring like, oh, my gosh, this is an elite offensive line. Because I still think there are some question marks there. Now, you know, 3 weeks into the season, we could be sitting here and I could completely change my tune because Will Conformby solidifies himself as a starter, Cam Dewberry the same, and, you know, so on and so forth. So maybe that changes. But right now, I think it's, above average.
How many Fantastic Fours does Will Conformby eat this week on spring break week? Mom and daddy ain't cooking. Go to Taco Casa.
You think he just pulls up and he's just got like a card that just says, I am Will Conformby.
I bet you he deals with that at the register. Yeah. He, I'll have XYZ. Okay, that'll be 7581.
Here's my ID.
Yeah. Put it on the family card. Actually, that's probably what it has. The family
on our tab.
Yeah, the family probably has a collective Taco Casa credit card or whatever account that all the you can use this.
How can I get me one of those? That's what I need. Can I get in on the Formby family plan?
That's what we need right there. All right, so I'm following you because I'm following you and I'm hearing and looking at myself from the last few years just, the offensive line's going to run over people, and just not happening. and just not happening. It didn't happen in 2024. It really didn't happen in 2023. Goodness gracious, 2023, baby, young man. I was going to say baby boy Caden Proctor, but young man Caden Proctor getting shoved. I mean, golly, left tackle was awful in 2023. And you had the Chris Owens year. Right tackle was absolutely awful. I mean, last year, Seth McLaughlin snapping his... So how many years have we walked into a season where, man, offensive line is going to be great, going to be running over people, going to be steamrolling folks, and then it just... Well, I'm not so sure if that's really the case.
I mean, it feels like it's been that way since 2020.
Yes. Your 2020 line with Alex Leatherwood... Yeah, Alex Leatherwood, Landon Dickerson... Evan Neal playing left tackle. Oh, gosh, that was an amazing line.
Let's see, who else are we forgetting now?
Landon's playing center.
All right, we got Leatherwood, Deontay Brown, Landon Dickerson center, Emile Ekior, and Evan Neal.
Emile Ekior and Deontay Brown, two monsters. Two monsters at guard.
Yeah.
Do you remember... You ever play Pokemon? It was Squirtle. Who was the big boy for Squirtle?
Venusaur or Bulbasaur?
Bulbasaur, yeah. Right? Wasn't that the...
Yeah, I think Venusaur was like the evolution, the bigger one. Blastoise was
Blastoise. Basically...
Squirtle turned into the big boy, War Tortoise and then Blastoise.
Okay, so that's who I'm thinking of. Yeah. The third version.
The cannons.
The third version of Squirtle, he looks like Blastoise. Just a big old tank. I'm just sitting there. It's
There was one photo of him that I would use frequently when, you know, writing about the team, and it was him and his stance. And it was, it looked like a screenshot from a Pokemon game. It was, his shoulders were up, no neck whatsoever, just pure muscle. Yeah, that was a hoss of a man right there.
So back to your point, Mason. Oh, should we change the offense? We haven't seen the offense. I think that paintbrush over the whole conversation is true. You basically went the entire year, not to say that what we saw last year wasn't Kalen DeBoer's offense, but
it was like Kalen DeBoer's offense light. You know, this was the free version. Now we're getting the paid version.
The free version, yes, the free version, but only, only like the last third of the playbook in the free in the free version.
The free version, like, with 45-second unskippable ads.
Right, like, we're not using. It wasn't like the offense relied on. I don't believe the offense utilized core concepts from Kalen DeBoer's. There were definitely passing concepts that were frequently repeated throughout the year that I thought, okay, we're got that's a staple, whether it's executed well or not. The point being is, how much quarterback run are you going to be relying on? I think the 160 something plays that were quarterback run, obviously not all of those are sure. Designed. He scrambles on several.
There's a whole lot of them that were, though.
Right, exactly. What is, let's just play a game and say half of them were designed. So what's 160? Half of that's 80-something. 80-something plays of the season are totally thrown out, in my opinion. Not eliminated, but if 85 plays were all the quarterback runs, I think you're going to see, how many games you got? 15. I think you're going to see 20 quarterback runs. 20, just very, very sprinkled in. And so, okay, you ask yourself, what do you replace it with? You replace it, in my opinion, with put the daggum ball in Jam Miller and Richard Young's hands and in A.K. Deer's hands.
Don't hate that plan.
You say, I do think Ty Simpson is going to win this job, is winning this job. I keep going.
Is it Ty Simpson winning a job because he is that much better than the other quarterbacks, or is it just because I got to go with the guy that's the most consistent, I guess?
No, I think. Oh, I don't know if I mentioned this when you were here or not, but I think that what's happened over these 2 months is that I think Ty Simpson has really, really, really taken a step forward in the leadership department in the.
That doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Okay,
though.
That's like, fine. But you remember, that's cool. But you remember Coach Saban's all, the team will tell you who the quarterback is.
Whatever. The team told us Jalen Milroe was their quarterback. Look how well that worked.
Well,
What would
happen?
I care not about, oh, he took steps as a leader. Show me a damn 60-yard bomb where you hit a guy right in the chest, Ty.
Well, I don't know if that's ever going to be. If that's going to be the game, but I do think you're going to operate really well from 25 yards in the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
but so what else do you need in college?
Yeah, I guess fair.
In college,
I'm asking too much.
I mean, I
just want dynamic quarterback play.
I mean, Mr. Slant Merchant, Tua Tagovailoa, I'll hit an 8-yard slant and watch my boy Henry Ruggs go for 70 yards on after the catch. Who cares?
Bryce Young spoiled us.
Yes.
I just want dynamic quarterback play again. I don't want another game manager.
But there's not a – they're very – the Bryce Youngs are
– I know.
We might have one.
I hope so.
We might have one. Living by the buffet table.
That's what we're looking for.
Eat more, Keelan.
Please.
This alarm is going off. Have another bagel. Another steak. Another.
Get this man something.
There might be. I think he's going to be.
Again, overreacting to practice footage. I don't.
I'm not reacting to practice. I haven't even seen the practice footage.
But he does have. He's got a little bit of zip on the ball, which I like to see.
I am reacting. My feeling is just when you say Keelan Russell's name in the facility to anyone who is actually coaching or what. Yes, the face you just made. That's what happens. Oh, I'd love to talk about Keelan.
Well, I mean, you can even see, was it last week, Ryan Grubb's first press conference?
Yes.
It was one of the first couple questions he got asked. And he lit up, talking about, he's not going all there, but he has taken everything he's doing. Yes, you can see the way he lit up. He did not have that same reaction when talking about Austin Mack or Ty Simpson.
They don't poker face very well with him.
No. And so I'll hold out for Keelan Russell. I'll get through this year. And they'll be fine this year. I say all this. Alabama, at worst, probably this year is going 9-3 again.
I'd be perfectly fine with that, but do you realize how many people would lose their minds at 9-3?
Yes. We are rational thinkers here, if nothing else. Try to be, at least. We're all right with that. We can get through. You go 9-3 because, all right, we were still a little limited at some positions, didn't weren't quite able to open the offense up the way we wanted to because we lacked some dynamic quarterback play. Steps Keelan Russell, we're cool with that. I get, if we just got to write Austin Mack off, it is what it is. I will leave the Austin Mack camp for the Keelan Russell camp. I will not leave it for the Ty Simpson camp.
Well, I'm already living in the mansion eating great
food.
That's
fine. I'm building character over here.
We're planning our championship campaign this year,
I'm building character. I'm sleeping in the dirt.
Will you join us?
I'm eating bugs and worms.
Will you join? You'll still be invited to the championship parade if we win. Will you join us? Okay, so let's wrap this up here with the offensive discussion. I think the offense will change. I think it should change because it has to. I mean, it has to change. There's no, but I don't think it has to change. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is looking at the film being, man, what we call last year stunk.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you saw last year was just a lot of framework stuff. A lot of all right, here's kind of, here's the basis of what we want to do, but not a lot of the details. And you didn't get, you got your metal frame up, but you didn't get any of the windows. None of the walls really got up. You didn't have any doors put on the building, no locks or anything.
I think it would have been really tough last year to play wide receiver on this team.
You saw it towards the end of the season at some points. So
Yes, you did. I mean, obviously, Ryan and Jeremy had really strong years. Mm-hmm. So congrats to them. They were. It didn't bother them per se, but I think that the wider receiver, if you looked under the hood past Ryan and Jeremy, the Kobe Princesses, the Kendrick Laws, the Caleb Odoms, I think it got really, really difficult to play wide receiver on this team last year.
I would agree with that.
All right, Mason Woods, let's finish up with something fun. It's Thursday. Oh, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. We hope you guys are. Yeah, I hope you guys are having a great day watching the Joe Gaither Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. Listening to us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, my own Facebook machines at Joe Gaither 6 at @MAWoods_ on the Twitter machines. We're hanging out in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios, proudly sponsored by Warren Tire and Auto Center. Mason Woods, I have TikTok, but I don't use it. I don't go into my phone. Mm-hmm. I only go to TikTok when someone sends me a TikTok, and that way it doesn't send me to the browser and do something weird, whatever. I'm on the Twitter machine today, and in another world, this would have been our reality. Rich Rodriguez bans TikTok from his players. No, that's not really true. Rich Rodriguez, the head coach of West Virginia, bans his players from dancing on TikTok. What do you think about this? He says, I don't care if y'all are on it. I don't care if you do videos. No dancing videos.
I want to know, one, what assistant, what GA, whose job it is to monitor all of their TikTok accounts and find out who's doing the dancing. And two, I want to know where exactly he draws the line at what counts as a dance, Because like he said, you can post your videos, whatever, if a guy hits one errant, arm wave or something, is he going to get suspended now? Where does Rich Rod draw his line here? And does it come from him watching TikToks himself to figure out, that's where I draw the line? This entire story is very, there's so many layers to this, I think could be so hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%. What did I read right here? Because I've got it sitting right here. Where is this? Oh, one of my tabs. I've got a million tabs. Okay, yeah. They're going to be on it. This is Rich Rodriguez. Quote, they're going to be on it. So I'm not banning them from it. I'm just banning them from dancing on it. It's like, look, we have to, it's like, look, we try to have a hard edge or whatever, and you're in there in your tight dance, dancing on TikTok. Ain't quite the image of our program that I want. So basically, I hate to be this way, but this is such boomer mentality.
Oh,
this is such
it's just the players that your team is playing against does not give a sugar honey iced tea about that TikTok video. They think it's funny, just like the player that posted it thought it was funny. This like societal notion that, oh, these young men are, we all got to be tough and we can't dance on TV and wear nail polish. That's gone. That is not a thing anymore with young people. Young people do not carry that same stupid mentality where it's like, this is the only way you can be a manly man. And if you're not doing this, you're soft. It's gone. That is not a thing any longer. There's maybe a handful of people that are, sure. Majority of college athletes these days do not give a crap.
Do you remember? I'm going to make myself look like a fool. This is really bad. Was it Crip Walking? Was that the name of the dance that, okay, I was in the sixth grade when it was in some music video. I think that was the name of the
movie. I believe Crip Walking has been around far before you were in sixth grade, so maybe another thing. Maybe, I don't know.
Okay, well, it's essentially, I saw it on a
probably saw it in a music video.
And I asked some of my more culturally affluent friends to help me figure out the steps of this.
Yeah. As you do.
Because I just wanted to do it. Because yeah, I just thought cool. It looked cool. Right. I'm in the 6th, 7th grade. I think I can still do that today. But let me tell you, I don't do it in my living room now. Like, that's just what kids do.
Yeah.
This is just, yeah, I saw a dab. I want to see if I can, how many times have you dabbed in your life? Do you hit the dab? Well, that was huge, like 5 years back, 7 years back, something like that. It was past my heyday. But the kids were dabbing left and right.
Yeah, it's just kids being kids. Kids will find trends and they will participate in trends, especially now that they have the internet at their fingertips where they can share it with all of their friends, share it with complete strangers they don't know. Rich Rodriguez, get with the times, buddy.
Are they allowed to do the give me my money? Are they allowed to do coordinated trends like that? Because that's not a dance. I mean, they're not dancing, but they are all doing
that's
the same coordinated line.
Like, where does he draw his line? How many TikToks has Rich Rodriguez consumed to figure out exactly where his line is?
Is this going to be Rich Rodriguez using his rule to arbitrarily kick kids off the team that he doesn't like?
That might be what it is.
He's like, oh, well, Charlie, you rubbed me the wrong way. This TikTok, it looks like a dance. You're out of here.
There we go.
He's going to just say, I define the rules. Yes, I define what speech is. Yes, speech is what I define it is.
I don't, you can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
And it's only the Rich Rodriguez definition. Are you a Mountaineer man or not?
Yeah. This is not getting enforced on any level, I don't think.
What do you think the reception is if Rich Rodriguez is the University of Alabama's coach?
Oh, they would love it.
Yes.
They would love it.
Yes.
They would love
yes.
it.
Hey, get that Ryan Williams off my dadgum social medias. He needs to be focusing on catching the ball.
Ryan Williams has posted one TikTok in the last calendar year. And it was a sponsored post that I imagine he got paid very handsomely for.
Yeah, do you know who? Does it say who was sponsored?
Hollister. He did some modeling for them.
Awesome. So he's wearing a polo. He's wearing some nice jeans or something. And he's doing a little hoo-hoo.
Yeah, hoo-hoo, precisely.
Hoo-hoo, look at me. Buy this shirt. Buy these pants. Okay. Like, what's the deal? But I just think that's funny. Rich Rodriguez.
Get with the times.
Boomer. Boomer man.
It's just, oh, man. Yeah, this is just so ridiculous. But yeah, good on you, Rich Rod. To think of the alternate timeline that exists in our universe where Rich Rodriguez has been the coach of Alabama for the last however many years at this point is just hilarious. So I need someone to make like an alternative history where Rich Rodriguez write the whole
thing. How many years does he get until he's fired?
Oh,
four?
Yeah, probably.
It's like three and a half, and he's gone.
Where'd he go? He went to Arizona or something right after?
Yeah, Arizona for a minute. I mean, he's been all over the place. Let's see. He has been West Virginia as a student assistant, Salem, West Virginia again, Glenville State, Tulane, Clemson, West Virginia again, now as head coach, Michigan.
Okay, so he went
to Michigan instead of Bama, then Arizona, then Ole Miss offensive coordinator, then Hawaii as an analyst, Louisiana Monroe, Jacksonville State as a head coach, and now back to West Virginia. What was West Virginia's record last year? That's my question. That's what I'll get to. West Virginia's record. Come on, year by year, is that what I have here? I want to know what y'all's record was last year, because I want to ask how many more wins they get from this policy. Because I'm going to say this policy does not yield any more wins. Not a single win. That's 2025. Okay, here's 2024. Perfect. They went 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins. So that's 6 and 7? Six and 8?
6 and 7.
6 and 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 6 and 7. Yeah, you cannot do math, Joe. 6 and 7. Does this policy, at the minimum, have them win their bowl game?
No. It will have no effect whatsoever. They could win their bowl game, but this will have no effect on it.
I got a buddy. This sounds like my buddy. My friend, and I love him dearly, and I think that this is a joke, but he says, Joe, coaches that wear hats win more.
I like this take. This has legs.
No!
I need a hat on the sideline.
Buddy, this has no correlation.
Now, we are strictly like ball cap or visor? Is visor included?
Mason.
These are the distinctions we have to make here. Now, Mason. Also, we got straw hats. You know, you get some coaches rocking the old straw cap. I mean, come on. This is where winners and losers are decided. There's empirical evidence to back this up.
You are in my conversations. Like, this is the exact... I did not tell you this, but this is the exact... Because, what I'm getting from this friend is visors don't count. Look at Matt Nagy. He stinks. Look at
Kiffin wears a visor. Hey. Hey. Steve Freshwater.
Steve Spurrier. Visor. Hey, there we go. Visor.
And that's another, just, you know, is it the like big golf visor where it looks like you're wearing a frisbee on the front of your head? Or is it the Kirby? Lane Kiffin visor? Yeah, the Kirby visor.
Kirby's a visor.
Yeah.
So we might need to have him revise his take. But I essentially, buddy, this has no. You cannot. Coaches that wear a hat, they're more prepared. They look more prepared. They're not worried about their hair as much. They're worried about the game. They just put the hat on, they're worried about the game.
Now, if there's one thing in that same, but you know, I love you got to have a nice fat coach. You got to have one. I love one big, you need one big, big man on the sideline just taking up space over there.
Is Chris Kapilich not big enough? For Alabama.
I don't know that he is.
Do we need to get him living with Keelan Russell?
We might roommate him on the Keelan Russell diet. Just him and because
because the rest of the staff
have one big man.
Yeah, the rest of the staff
they're all
pretty
cut
lean.
Up, trim. You know, everybody. Yeah,
you've got the strength and conditioning staff that has a couple of big fellows on it, but the real coaches.
We need an enforcer over there.
I mean, Freddie Roach is lean.
Yeah. No, we need Any former defensive tackles or anything want to come on back and just stand on the sideline and look intimidating? That's what we need.
Josh Chapman does that for you, but he's in the strength room. Yeah. And he's just chewing the cigar before the Tennessee game.
Still, I forgot about that. That was a tough one.
Well,
a lot of things happened this season that did not go exactly
smokes.
Well.
Yes, it did. All right, Mason. No TikTok dances for us. We'll continue to debate the offense. We're going to watch SEC tournament today. Call us on the voicemail line 205-462-7340 extension 800 to leave your voicemail reaction. Leave us your reaction to Nick Pringle's last college game today. Leave us your reaction to Texas Vanderbilt. Your reaction to TikTok. Do you want to see Kalen DeBoer ban the boys from TikTok dancing? You can react to really anything you want to. The voicemail line is always open. 205-462-7340 extension 800. We're going to get out of here for the day. We'll have two more shows for the week. We're going up to Nashville. Still have to figure out the logistics, but pretty positive we'll make it happen. And we'll be back to talk to you again tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.